This week, the Eastern Daily Press was full of articles about reopening of activities following the easing of the COVID-19 lockdown. Some children returned to school this week and were hailed as superheroes. Norwich Cathedral has set out its reopening plans. The two Norwich universities plan to restart face-to-face teaching in September. Hairdressers and barbers are preparing to open in July, and some gardens are also opening in July under the National Garden Scheme. Great Yarmouth Pleasure Beach is planning cautiously to reopen on July the 11th, if government guidance says it's safe to do so. Customers have already been flocking to McDonald's fast food drive-thrus. Norwich City are preparing for the restart of the Premier League. We'll read you these stories, but there were many others, about reopening of Sheringham Park, Felbrigg Hall, Blickling Estate, the Welney Wetland Centre, Ickworth House and Sutton Hoo. In many cases, these can only be visited by pre-booking online. We will finish this section with a late headline story from Wednesday the 10th of June. The government is announcing that zoos can reopen soon, and two East Anglian zoos have just announced that they're planning to reopen around July the 1st. Robin will start this cheering group of stories with news of the primary school children who've returned to the classroom.
Head teachers and principals have praised staff, families and pupils as children returned to the classroom across the region. After 10 weeks of learning at home, it was time for new routines in the classroom as primary school children across Norfolk and Waverley adapted to changes. With almost half of Norfolk's primary schools reopening on Monday, June the 1st, a phased return was seen by pupils in reception, year 1 and year 6, and some nursery classes resuming sessions. This is expected to increase to around 90% by the time that schools in Norfolk return next week. One-way systems, social distancing and staggered times at the start and end of the day are among a raft of changes to the normal school day, with children grouped into bubbles for separate classes as they sit at separate desks. School leaders expressed pride as they hailed the children for adapting to these changes, and the very supportive parents for their backing, as communities rallied together to adhere to the government guidelines. At the end of the first week back, a special visitor surprised pupils at the Howard Junior School. Gregory Hill, executive head teacher at the King's Lynn School, said, "We had the Hulk in to say thank you to pupils for being superheroes, coming back to school from a superhero. Everything has gone to plan. Our staff, parents and pupils have fully participated in all our safety measures, hand washing stations and routines, temperature checks, social distancing, and we've settled in everyone so well, and everyone is making fun a priority."
Preparations are underway to ensure Norwich Cathedral can begin opening its doors again for individual prayer and reflection. Churches and cathedrals across England have been closed since March the 23rd, with no date for the reopening announced by the government. The cathedral has announced that during its first phase of reopening, it will be limiting the number of people inside at one time and implementing a one-way system. Entry will be via the hostry entrance, and people will be asked to wash their hands with sanitizer on arrival, observe social distance and keep 2 meters apart, and follow the one-way system around, and exit via the south door. With the exception of a very small number of seats, all areas accessible to the public have been cleared of chairs and leaflet stands to ensure that there's more space available for people to socially distance. The Dean of Norwich, the Very Reverend Jane Hedges, said, "We know how important Norwich Cathedral is to so many people, and we very much hope to reopen the cathedral as soon as it's safe to do so. Safety remains our key priority, and we will be continually reassessing the situation in the weeks ahead and listening to government advice." She continued, Our understanding is that there will be a phased approach to churches reopening, and that initially we may be allowed to open specifically for individual prayer. And to prepare for this, we've been working with the cathedral's external health and safety advisor to create a safe one-way route through the cathedral for those wishing to visit for prayer or reflection. And we look forward to the day when it's safe for us to begin to reopen the cathedral to the public. Many areas such as the chapels, choir stalls and presbytery will be cordoned off, and the shop, cafe and cloisters will remain closed. There'll also be no toilet facilities available during the first phase of reopening. Visitors will be able to light a candle in the nave.
Face-to-face teaching of students is being planned by both the University of East Anglia and Norwich University of the Arts from September. Both Norwich universities said they were currently modelling practical ways to deliver as much teaching in person as possible. However, it is likely that face-to-face sessions and lectures will remain limited and mixed with online sessions. It comes as some universities consider making students live in a bubble with people on the same courses to limit social mixing when campuses reopen in the autumn. Students arriving at university for the first time could also be faced with virtual Freshers Week events, fewer large-scale lectures, and one-way systems across campus in a bid to keep them safe. Neil Ward, UEA Deputy Vice-Chancellor, said, "Currently, our plan for next academic year is to start as planned in September and to deliver as much face-to-face interactive teaching as is safely and practically possible, such as small group teaching and practical lab classes, for example. We are likely to deliver the content of larger lectures digitally for all in advance of smaller group face-to-face sessions. With degree courses that involve high levels of practical work, including fashion, fine art and acting, Norwich University of the Arts also faces challenges ahead of a planned reopening of its campus to students in September." A Norwich University of the Arts spokesman said, "We are reviewing all areas of the campus and modelling the way students will be able to access workshops and studios while following government advice on working safely. This may well mean extended campus opening hours and modified access arrangements. Adopting best practice, we will offer a mix of real-time online seminars, tutorials and lectures alongside physical access to workshops and related teaching on campus."
Salon owners are dusting off their scissors as hairdressers and barbers prepare to open in July. A barber in Norwich has said he plans to reopen on July the 4th, following the lead of chains which have announced their intention to also reopen then. Executives at Tony and Guy, which has a salon in London Street in Norwich, and Regis, which has a salon in Gerald, said they are planning to open next month. This prompted Nathan Pizzi, owner of Castle Barbershop in the city centre, to announce his plans for reopening. "I'm going to have a one-in, one-out policy," he said. "I'm going to wear masks and gloves and change between every client. I'll also wash my tools and clean down the station between each client." He added, "I've got a contactless card machine, so I'll be using that wherever it's possible. Because I work on my own in the salon, I think it should be easy to manage people coming in and out. I do have some space upstairs, so someone could wait up there if needs be. Appointments only take half an hour or so it's not a long time to wait." He said that thanks to a government grant, the Castle Meadow-based business has been able to tide itself over, but said, "I think if we were told we had to open later, it would be a struggle. We're going to offer 50% off the first 3 weeks we're open. I think it'll be busy. It's funny walking around Norwich and seeing people with really long beards and hair. You can tell a couple have tried to do it themselves and have ended up wearing hats to hide it."
The National Garden Scheme is reopening private gardens to the public across Norfolk and Waveney as lockdown eases and people are encouraged to enjoy outside spaces. The scheme, which was founded in 1927, gives visitors access to over 3,000 gardens in England and Wales to raise money for charity. But due to coronavirus, all dates over the last few months were cancelled. They are now reopening their gates to visitors, and to comply with social distancing guidelines, entry is only for those with pre-purchased tickets for a timed slot. The gardens taking part in the region include Tiger Barn Beccles, July the 5th, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Black Horse Cottage, Hickling, July the 11th and 12th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Dale Farm, Dereham, July the 19th and 26th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Lexham Hall, July 29th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Acre Meadow in Great Yarmouth, by arrangement only, from July to September. Gardens will not be able to offer refreshments, but at some larger sites, visitors will be allowed to bring their own picnics, and all buildings will be closed. All funds raised will go to the National Gardens Scheme, Help Support Our Nurses campaign.
An historic seaside attraction has revealed cautious plans for a provisional July reopening, provided the government keeps its word. Great Yarmouth's Pleasure Beach along the Golden Mile will be opening on July the 11th if government guidance says it's safe to do so. Owner Albert Jones said it would be like a return to the 80s with a gated system to manage footfall. He added, "There's been a lot of planning behind the scenes, and if the government sticks to its plan to reopen hospitality and leisure by July the 4th, we believe we'll be able to open by July the 11th. We're taking some of our staff off furlough tomorrow in preparation for that date." While Mr. Jones acknowledged that plans could come to nothing if the government decides to reimpose lockdown, the blueprint for reopening the theme park is extensive. Unveiled through an announcement on the Pleasure Beach website, the biggest change will be the need for visitors to prepay their visit and attend the park in 3-hour slots. The announcement read, "Due to social distancing guidelines, we'll be limiting our visitors on the park at any one time, and we'll be operating prepaid time slots. Each session will be 3 hours duration, and a valid ticket will be required for entrance. Tickets can be purchased online for selected date and time sessions." The notice carries on to say that upon entrance to the park, visitors will have unlimited access to the rides during the 3-hour time slot they've chosen. At the end of the slot, the rides will close, and visitors will need to exit the park swiftly to allow preparation for the next session. On the rides themselves, seating capacity will be restricted and hand gel provided before and after riding. Mr. Jones said the details were very important in ensuring minimum contact between customers and staff and guaranteeing the safety of all.
Customers waiting to get their hands on their first Big Macs since March have flocked to McDonald's restaurants across Norfolk and Waveney. 11 more of the fast food drive-thrus opened, with customers saying their wait was on average between 5 and 15 minutes. In Great Yarmouth, the smooth reopening was assisted by the police, who managed tailbacks caused by the rush to the site. One family had travelled to the McDonald's at Thickthorn Roundabout, saying they had really missed the convenience. "I actually work at another McDonald's restaurant," the father of one said, "so I eat McDonald's every day on my lunch break. It's been weird not having it. I'm looking forward to going back to work, but I don't really know how they're going to do social distancing, as the space between some of the stations is quite small." His partner added, "We usually get McDonald's a couple of times a week, but I don't think we'll be coming back for a couple of days. The queues weren't bad at all. We were impressed. Another pair picked up a McDonald's last week while working in Suffolk. Jamie Newby and Ben Perrin said the queues in Norfolk were much better managed. I think we queued for about 45 minutes in Ipswich, Mr. Perrin said. Here it was much faster. We didn't have problems not being able to order what we wanted or anything. We get McDonald's once a week, maybe, said Mr. Newby. It's just easy when you're on the road, moving between jobs. It's nice that it's back and available again.
Two of the region's zoos have said reopening will give them a fighting chance of survival, as the government is set to announce they can open doors from June the 15th. Boris Johnson revealed zoos, safari parks and drive-in cinemas can reopen in England from next week during the daily briefing from Downing Street. Under pressure from zoos warning they face an existential threat, the Prime Minister will say they can reopen as long as they can uphold social distancing rules. The Zoological Society of East Anglia, or ZSEA, which runs Banham Zoo in Norfolk and Africa Live in Suffolk, welcomed the news, but said both sites would not reopen until around July the 1st, with the exact date to be confirmed to allow for a deep clean. It comes as the ZSEA said the zoos were on the brink of collapse if reopening was delayed until August. They had previously announced they were cutting almost 70 jobs after losing £1.5 million in admissions since lockdown. Now, though, the ability to reopen means the zoos will have a fighting chance of survival, according to Managing Director Claudia Roberts. But the restructuring and cost-cutting measures will still go ahead to cover the loss of income during the period of closure since lockdown. Ms. Roberts said, "We are delighted to finally have clarity on when we can reopen Banham Zoo and Africa Alive. It doesn't, however, mean that we can reopen on June the 15th, because we need to do this safely and do a deep clean of both zoos first. We will plan to open on or around July the 1st, and we will confirm the exact date as soon as possible." She continued, "Unfortunately, the proposed structure and cost-cutting we announced 2 weeks ago will still need to go ahead because we've lost so much income during the period of closure since lockdown. However, with this news about reopening, we know that we have a fighting chance. Thank you to everyone in our communities who is fundraising and making donations. Your help has been incredible, and we will need this support to continue to go forward so that we can rebuild the future for Banham Zoo and Africa Alive."